your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome, fellow traders. This is Paula T. Webb, bringing you the new age of trading psychology. Thank goodness we have this lovely radio station, WBGS 1610. It's a great place to be. And we are going to get started, as we usually do, with answering some of your questions. Some of you have written in because you're not that familiar with who I am or what my background is. So I'm going to give you a little bit of that today, and we'll kind of move forward with that. And also, too, the next book that's coming out, The Sacred Path of the Warrior Trader, that is going to be out, I believe, in 14 to 16 days as Kindle, and then it'll be out. I think it takes another 10 days or so to get the paperback edition out. And for the other question about a hardcover copy of The Key to Power Profits, we are working on that. I'm under a deadline to get the Sacred Path book out first, and then we'll go back and do all the hardcovers. So I hear you. I appreciate it. I, too, like hardcover books, so I'm on it. So just bear with me. In the next couple weeks, we'll get it all out. Okay? So I'm going to share a little bit of my background. And if this doesn't answer all your questions or it creates more questions, then just send me an email this coming week, and I'll address it next Sunday. So let's get started. When I was growing up in the 1970s, most of the parents of the families that I knew or went to school with, they didn't have credit cards. Now, some of you listening to this who are younger than other people, such as myself, you may find that's impossible to believe. But if you were born after 1980, You wouldn't know that there was ever a time, except maybe 100 years ago, that when people didn't have credit cards or didn't live on credit, okay? But, you know, there was a time in the not-too-distant past, really up until about the late 1980s, when people, the average person, lived on their salary, just on their salary. I personally remember times when my parents would be sitting at the kitchen table late at night, when I was supposed to be asleep and upstairs in bed, and I would hear them talk about how they were even ever going to pay for any of our college tuitions or home improvement costs. And this was long before, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's and all that, okay? I mean, that they just didn't exist back then. Or how they were going to pay for our orthodontics, our braces, our music lessons, and so forth. And I would watch them with a pad of paper, you know, writing down and numbers and refiguring their budget to accommodate all the daily expenses as well as the sometimes unexpected expenses. It just was the way it was. And my parents worked really hard, as I'm sure most, if not all, of your parents did as well, to those of you listening. My father was a chemical engineer who developed lacquers for different types of metals. Like every time you open a can of green beans, there's a lacquer. They called it a lacquer. It's a coating on the inside of the can. And that's to protect the ingredients inside that can from affecting the metal that it's encased in. And my father developed those. He owned several patents. And he was hired as an outside consultant to work for Mobil Chemical in their international chemical division, and traveled quite a bit soliciting clients and then managing those clients that he brought in. Now, my mother managed his consulting business along with raising five kids, including myself, and both of them conveyed the message to me that if you work hard, you get ahead. And that's just a pretty typical work ethic that a lot of us had back then. I can't say for sure if a lot of parents today tell their children that, because I'm past the point of having children now. So, you know, so I can't say what parents say today, but back when I was younger, that's what everybody I knew that phrase. You work hard, you get ahead, period. That's it. Many of you listening to this might have been told that or heard that as well more than once. Now, my family did not have a big house. I think our house was probably 1,500 square feet. We only had one car. My father received a company car every 2 years. But what we did have was paid for, except for the mortgage, which, like many families at that time, that was normal, a normal 30-year fixed mortgage. And this was long before the idea or concept of multi-refinancing and, of course, sublenders came on the scene. Now, for the record, the salary my father made was typical of that time, that era, and this was long before the higher, more appropriate salaries exploded on this on the scene in the 1980s for executives. Unfortunately, my father died in 1972 before many employees who were considered executives, like himself, began receiving executive-type wages. At the time, what he made was the norm, and not something that maybe many of you listening to this may even relate to. But I bring it up for a good reason as an example as to the general attitude of people about success and money during that time. As many of you may already know, my first position out of college was working for the Mid-America Commodity Exchange, the Mid-Am, one of the commodities and futures exchanges in Chicago. Although the Mid-Am had the distinction of being the first futures exchange to offer mini contracts, which were one-fifth the size of the big boards. When I say big boards, I mean Chicago Board of Trade, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Coffee, Sugar, Cocoa Exchange, the COMEX, you know, KNIFE, and so forth. I worked for the vice president of operations, which meant I oversaw the management of the day-to-day operations of the trading floor. And while learning how the markets worked, I was also liaison between the floor traders and management to make sure that, you know, everybody was happy. In terms of, I took minutes for the committee meetings. I, you know, wrote down what trading floor issues were going on. In other words, I was entrusted with basically making sure the floor traders were happy. During those years working for the exchange, I met and dated several traders. Most of the floor traders I knew, besides those I dated, I considered wild mavericks in my mind. And I was very attracted to the fact that they were, or so I thought, being as young and inexperienced as I was at the time, I thought they were raking in boatloads of money at any given moment. And after several years working for the exchange, I decided I wanted to become a floor trader, and this was very common in those days by many staff at the exchanges in Chicago. Now, I can't speak for the exchanges in other cities such as New York or London, but I imagine it was probably the same. So I made the decision one day to take charge of my financial future, which turned out to be just a little bit harder to accomplish than I thought. Let me explain. While working for the exchange, I learned how the markets worked from the inside out, mechanically, technically, technology-wise. Sorry, that's a bad word. Technology-wise. And how all the information was facilitated and disseminated to the other exchanges and the public. Meaning, I knew physically and electronically how the markets worked, but I had no idea how the exchanges mentally or emotionally worked while moving through and within the minds of all the floor traders. When I began my education as a phone clerk working for Shatkin Commodities on the trading floor of the CME, while I was learning how to trade, I had no idea that none of my prior experience or education would mean anything. I was just like all new traders, thinking I already had a good handle on things. And that couldn't have been further from the truth. For those of you not familiar with commodities or futures markets, for each trade made on the trading floor, of course now today via electronic trading through all types of personal devices, anything can happen at any given moment in the markets. Meaning, you can lose everything you've worked for in a very short period of time, unless you have what is referred to and written about at some length by myself and Mark Douglas in The Disciplined Trader and Trading in the Zone, unless you have a carefree state of mind and a winning trader's mindset. Before meeting Mark and collaborating on that first book, The Disciplined Trader, this type of mindset, just like all new traders, was something that I did not have, nor did I even know existed, much did I even imagine it was necessary. At the time I started trading, technical analysis was all there was to learn. That's it. Meaning a carefree state of mind, having no conflict between what one feels they are worth and what they are willing to do to be a winning trader, which equates into an objective perception of the markets, which then translates into a trader's focused mindset, allowing them to trade successfully, just didn't exist. It didn't matter. So I bring this up from, you know, about our first two books, not only for this example of when I was working for the Mid-Am and then trading on the CME prior to co-authoring our books, but because the phrase carefree state of mind may apply to all types of business endeavors, but most specifically for traders. As I struggled through my first few months learning how to trade while working on the trading floor, I leaned on my trading friends, buddies and ex-boyfriends I had known for years for their expertise and advice on how to trade, still thinking it was a numbers and fact-based game, meaning technical analysis and reading charts. To my surprise, during this period, these trading friends became somewhat reluctant to assist me, although many of them had encouraged me to become a trader for quite some time. Now you might ask why. Because they now viewed me as competition, whereas before I was an office girl, a kid sister, or a girlfriend, which had nothing to do with competing with them as a trader. And with that, we will be right back after the break. So, continuing on. Now, again, as I said before the break, so these friends of mine and these traders that I had known for years while working at the Mid-Am, you know, we'd all become friends. We hung out together. We, you know, not just necessarily dated each other, but we were just friends. We all got along. It was just a really nice group of traders. And once I became a trader, now they viewed me as competition. Now, not because I was some hotshot trader, but just because I was a trader at all. Now I was just another trader on the other side of any trade they might put on or take or try to get out of. In other words, I might be taking money out of their pocket on the other side of any trade. So why should they give me advice on how to do that? That kind of threw me for a loop at first. I couldn't figure out why all of a sudden they wouldn't answer my questions, and I kind of got the brush off. Well, they were cordial enough, but I got, you know, I stopped getting invited to parties. Didn't have anybody to date anymore, and it was quite the phenomenon. Now, again, for those of you listening who are not that familiar with the commodities or futures markets, when one trader has a winning trade, the trader on the opposite side of the trade will lose, technically. Okay? This is the nature of trading. Someone always wins, and someone always loses. Maybe. Okay. Now, this is still true today, just as true today as it was when the exchanges were first formed over 100 years ago. But keep in mind, and although you may take profit or not take profit on that particular trade, that doesn't necessarily mean, wait a minute, I screwed up here, guys. Let me backtrack. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. Okay. What I was saying was someone always wins and someone always loses. Technically. But keep in mind, and although you may take profit, which logistically may mean the trader on the other side may not take profit on that specific trade, that doesn't necessarily mean they actually lost any money. They may have any number of trades placed in other markets, or even in the same market you are on the opposite side of them with, offsetting the specific trade you took profit on. And you will have no way of knowing if you're taking profit on the opposite side of the same trade as another trader made, if that made them a loser or not. So it's important for you not to give it a second thought. This is a critical component in your mental development as a warrior trader. Why is that? The only reason you and any other trader anywhere in the world decided to become traders is to make money. Period. And make money for yourself. That's it. Okay? I can't tell you how many countless traders come to me for coaching and try to say, oh, well, you know, I'm not trading for the money. I'm going to buy real estate. So I'm trading to buy real estate. Yeah. Okay. You're trading to make money to buy the real estate. The only thing you're doing is pointing and clicking your mouse to grow your equity. You're not producing anything. You're not making anything. What you do with the money afterwards, that's a different story, but that's not what I'm talking about. You are a trader and you got into trading to make money. So yes, trading is about the money. I don't care what anyone else on the internet, I don't care who they are, how long they claim to be in the business. Anybody that's saying that trading is not about the money is an idiot. Okay? That's it, plain and simple. So getting back to what I'm talking about, there is no practical reason for you to consider whether the trader, any trader on the other side of any profitable trade you took, suffered a loss on that same trade, because you have no way of knowing if that is the only trade they were in at the time. More importantly, why should it concern you? Why should you care about an anonymous person or broker or firm making or losing money in the markets? It really astounds me, guys, when traders call up and say, well, you know, I know that trading's about winning and losing, and you know, sometimes I feel guilty because, you know, I know I'm taking money out of somebody else's pocket. Then you shouldn't be a trader. If this is what you're going to worry about, somebody else's wallet, that means you're not focused on your own wallet. This is the way it works, guys. This is the nature of trading. Technically, somebody wins, somebody loses. But you don't know if they're losing. You don't know what other trades they have on. You don't know if they're offsetting. You don't know if they have options or spreads or whatever. You don't know. And since you don't know that, you don't need to care about it. That's not the point of trading. I can guarantee you the trader or traders or brokers on the other side of any trades you put on are not thinking about you losing when they make profit. Well, at least they shouldn't be thinking about you. Now, whether any other trader wins or loses on the other side of your trades has nothing to do, should have nothing to do with your perspective and your single goal, which is to make money as a trader. So thinking about somebody losing because you made money will only prove detrimental to you growing your equity and your trading account. Now, I haven't really gone into this at much depth because I didn't really think I had to. But recently, you know, these questions have come up from a lot of you guys in our coaching sessions, and it just never even occurred to me that it was an issue. And it's probably because you might have gotten some misinformation, or maybe you're just feeling guilty because making money trading is too easy, meaning pointing and clicking your mouse. I'm not saying that, you know, it's the hardest easy money we can ever make, but maybe there's an element of guilt. Maybe you think you're being greedy. Maybe you think it's gambling, whatever. Anytime you start worrying about a trader on the other side, when you make profit, then you're feeling guilty. And you have to address that, like, right away. You have to get to the root cause as to why you care that some other trader may have lost on your trade that you made money on. I it's just beyond belief to me. But I think that's because I had the luxury of being on the trading floor. And so I actually saw the other side of the trades. I saw who was making money or who was taking my loss, you know, who was taking my profit. And it just is. It just is what it is. So taking this a step further, to think like a warrior trader, one has to know that they are in a battle each day to win. You have to enter the markets as a warrior, knowing you are going to win. Now, do you think any warriors or soldiers go into battle concerned about the soldier or the warrior on the other side of the battlefield who may die because of them shooting their weapon or dropping their bombs or any other battlefield attack strategy or modality? Of course not. If warriors or soldiers in battle allowed themselves to think about the mortality of other warriors or soldiers, no battles would ever get started, much less won. But that point is for another day and another time to discuss. To win for yourself, you have to be a warrior spirit. Even though we may discuss some specific warrior tactics that countless philosophers have written about for centuries and even more recently, this has nothing to do with the military, law enforcement, and certainly not any political agendas. What I am talking about is helping you in creating a warrior mindset to win any battle with any markets as a trader. This is what it's about, guys. You have to develop the type of mindset that you are going to start your trading day knowing you have your armor on, you are fully equipped to win. And what does that take? It takes a mindset. It takes a mindset of believing in yourself. It takes a mindset of knowing you'll do what needs to be done. So ask yourself, do I have what it takes to create and instill a warrior mindset to win as a trader? We'll be right back after the break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, another part of the equation is this. Anyone who has worked outside of trading, meaning worked for others, can relate to what I'll call the proverbial glass ceiling. Now, when I speak of the glass ceiling, I'm not speaking of gender salaries. I am speaking of the actual and real belief that most of us have that we are only worth this or that amount of salary when working for others versus being a trader. Theoretically, that is. When we work for others, we can see higher salary possibilities, just like as traders, we can see the higher profit-taking possibilities. Yet, we cannot always achieve those possibilities ourselves. So where does this belief or set of beliefs that we are only worth a set amount of money come from? Now, I know Mark Douglas touched on this probably in several of his workshops that, you know, are all across the internet, but we're gonna dig deep into this even more, because the way he presented it years ago, it really kind of fell on deaf ears. And I don't mean that from a bad perspective. It's just that people just weren't ready to hear what, you know, needs to be said. So let's think about this for a second. Any belief or set of beliefs that we are worth getting paid a specific salary or paying ourselves a certain amount now as a trader comes from the beliefs of from other people outside of ourselves, meaning someone else decided long before we came along that we, and I use that term collectively, not personally, I'm just saying in general, we would be worth X amount in salary or commission or benefits while working for others. No one is born with a belief that we'll only ever make X amount of dollars in our lifetime, right? I mean, I certainly don't recall thinking that when I was younger, that I was only going to make a certain amount of money at my career or in my lifetime. Did you? I would say probably not. Because if you did think you are only worth X amount of dollars, you wouldn't be a trader. Wouldn't even occur to you. So you have to think back. Do you remember thinking that you would only make a certain amount of money in your lifetime? And I'm going to say, of course not. No one does. No one ever thinks that in their lifetime. Now, you may recall, if you think back, someone else telling you that a particular career choice or changing careers more than once or lack of a career choice at some point in your life based on their criteria would only produce this or that amount of money for you. More than likely, quite a few of you listening to this will say, yes, I do remember that. It's just the way things are. Just keep in mind, this is simply the way the business world works. The business world. But this type of programming put in our mindset by others, probably from when we were teenagers, creates a set of limiting beliefs that do not work in trading at all. As a matter of fact, I will take it even further, and I will tell you it will only delay your ability to see and take all profit as it shows itself to you as you trade, the more you subscribe to these limited beliefs that you're only worth a certain amount of money. Now, trading is the only business field, and it is a business, where there is unlimited potential for profit-taking all by yourself. Not what somebody else told you you could take. You can see it in your chart. You can see market direction, and you know that. So you are making this decision. You are seeing the unlimited potential that you can take. All this boils down to, and it's real simple, what I'm talking about is what we believe about ourselves. Now, for those of you that have come to my live workshops, you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you who haven't, you know, this is where, you know, a single coaching session could really make a big difference in your results. So keep that in mind. If you have not subscribed to understanding what you believe about what you're worth, then you cannot grow your equity as a trader. And you should probably go back and work for someone in another field. Every trader must know what they believe about themselves before they put on their first trade. This is what trading is about, guys. Trading is 100% mental game. Anybody can read a chart. I've had fifth graders that could read a chart in my lifetime. You know, we used to go into schools and back in Chicago to kids that were at risk of failing. And, you know, and I would bring a computer and I would show them and I'd say, okay, this is what trading's about. And I, you know, this is what we do. And I would bring up charts and I would say, tell me what you see. These are, you know, the fifth grade and eighth grade. And time and time again, these kids would say, well, it looks like, you know, this line is going up. And I said, okay. And then, you know, these are historical charts, of course. And then I would show them the next day's chart. And, you know, 50% of the time they were right. And then I would show them the difference about thinking and knowing and how to analyze the data. It was really a lot of fun. So what I'm saying is, when I say anybody can read a chart, this is a fact, okay? It's just, you know, a lot of it's intuition, but most of it is just technical analysis. So knowing what you are worth with each trade you place is a key element to you taking profit at any given moment when it becomes available. Knowing that you deserve all the profit that is possible to take on each trade. Knowing that you will take all the profit that makes itself available to you in any given moment while trading, no matter how large, no matter how small. And we went over that the other week. How much is enough? How little is too little? You have to know that every single trading day. Knowing that you will take all profit, because profit is profit. And you got to keep in mind, guys, and we've talked about this before, but I'm saying it a little differently. When you deny taking a smaller profit, you are telling the universe, God, your higher power, that you do not need money, that you do not want money, that you are only worth larger profit. It's like limiting thoughts about creating your wealth. That would be like any warrior or soldier going into battle saying, well, I'm not just going to shoot one guy. I'm going to shoot 1,000 guys. Now, I mean, I'm not a warmonger here. I'm just making this analogy because, you know, my new book coming out is having a warrior mentality. And having a warrior mentality means having a winning strategy from a mental perspective. So if any warrior or soldier went into battle saying, well, I'm not going to waste my time just taking out one guy. I'm going to wait till I can take out 20 or 30. Yeah, well, they're going to be sitting there. They're probably going to be dead, okay? And that's just what you're doing when you negate the smaller profits. You are killing your potential to grow your equity. You are negating the very process of accumulation. And you are ultimately telling the universe, telling God, I'm not taking this little amount that you have given to me. It's not enough. It's not worth my time. It's not worth my effort. So the universe is going to say, okay, guess you don't need any money. And then when it comes to the point where you see there's a large profit-taking opportunity, you can't take advantage of it. And why is that? Because now you have a set of conflicting beliefs. You're only worth big amounts. You're not worth the small amounts that add up to big amounts. And that type of mindset comes from past experiences of feeling you were denied getting paid what you thought you should have been paid by someone else. And that translates over into, ugh, the market screwed me. I should have been able to take this, but you couldn't, or you didn't, or you screwed up the trade. You didn't manage it. Whatever the reason is, you have applied to not taking all profit. These conflicting beliefs, which they have to be recognized. You have to recognize them, guys, and you have to accept that they're there. And once you accept that, which I know is a little troublesome to get through, guys, and this is where my coaching comes in, I help you recognize and accept you have limiting beliefs. We all have limiting beliefs. Okay? We didn't put them in there. It's just outdated, and we just need to recognize them, accept it, so then we can deflate them to allow our mental environment to expand and see all the true opportunities in taking profit as traders. This is how it works, guys. That's why I'm saying trading is 100% mental game. I know I've told you before, I've worked with some of the best analysts, I'll say at least in the U.S., not across the world, because there's probably countless great analysts across the world, but in the U.S., I can say there's at least four or five guys over the years, absolutely fabulous. I mean, I wanted to take their trades. And I know I told you there was one specifically I offered him. I said, look, give me your setups. I will trade the money. We'll split it 60-40, 50-50, whatever you want to do. He was that good. And those of you out there who know me know that I do not work with other people very much, okay, in terms of investing together or trading together. So it was a big deal for me to make that offer. And he said, nope, I got to trade it myself. Yeah, well, I worked with him for 2 years. He had some good days, some not so good days, but ultimately he could not maintain an objective state of mind because he had no perception of his own self-worth. Not much you can do about it when somebody doesn't want to change. So you just have to remember that conflicting beliefs can be deflated and new profit-taking beliefs, unconflicted beliefs, can be used instead. It's really that simple, but it's up to you to make that decision. We'll be right back. Okay, so one of the mechanisms to figure out if you have any conflicting beliefs, and guys, if your results are not consistently going up, then you have some conflicting beliefs. And when I use that word beliefs, plural, it doesn't mean that they're anything heavy duty. It could be something very simple that you just didn't even think about. Okay, so I don't want you guys to ever get the impression that, oh my God, this is going to be like this overwhelmingly tough process, because it doesn't have to be. Okay. I'm going to say probably 65% of all the traders that I work with, they listen to what I'm saying. They do the exercises I give them and they get it. A lot of guys only have one coaching session. A lot of guys do a one-on-one workshop with me, which is my most popular venue. And they get it. And then they go on, you know, to have great trading careers. So it doesn't have to be this heavy duty. It's not like being in therapy, okay? And I know some of you are in therapy. And I'm going to tell you this before we get, you know, move forward with this section. But if any of you out there is in therapy and you are going to a therapist who has never traded or currently doesn't trade, why the heck are you talking to them about trading? There is no way they know anything about the mindset of a trader if they have never traded. It just blows my mind. It really boggles my senses to think that traders are going to go to a therapist and talk to them about their mindset. I'm working with a guy right now. He's in three different modalities. He's doing, I'm doing a meditation for traders, I'm doing a mindset for traders, and I'm talking to a therapist. And I said, well, what's the therapist have to do with the other two modalities? He said, well, the therapist is putting those other two modalities into a perspective for me to become a better trader. And I asked him, does your therapist trade? And he said, no, of course not. He's a therapist. I said, has he ever traded? Did you ask him? He said, yes, I asked him. He's never traded. I said, okay, then how is it he's going to know anything about what it takes to think like a winning trader? And there was dead silence, right, on the other end of the phone with my client. And then he says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what do you mean? What do I mean? You are asking a therapist who has no knowledge of trading, day trading. You're asking them to build a mental framework for you to become more successful as a trader. I don't even get that. Somebody needs to explain this to me. And he said, well, you know, he's a trained therapist. I said, in what? At what? He said, well, you know, personal development. I said, okay, so talk to him about personal development. But he can't tell you how to think like a winning trader. Those are two different things. So I'm putting this out here, guys, because there's a lot of you that have come to me over the years that have gone to therapists and got completely screwed up because the therapists don't know what it means to think like a winning trader, unless they are traders themselves. Yes, they can help you with personal development, but they cannot know or teach you what the fundamental dynamics are of having a successful, winning warrior mindset. There's no way they could because they're not traders. I don't understand why this is so hard to understand, guys. So getting back to the self-worth issues, you have to ask yourself, not a therapist, what are some of the things you were told or taught about how much you could earn in your life? What did your parents or teachers or friends or siblings even tell you, you know, during your formative years that, as you look back now, may have had a less than positive effect on your career as a trader today? And when I say formative years, I'm not necessarily talking about when you were young. It could still be going on. I'm talking about right here, right now. Right now, you are still formulating what you think you are worth based on other people's perceptions and expectations of you, which translates into what you think you are worth, again, based on other people's criteria. Meaning you don't know what you are worth because you are trading through beliefs created from sources outside of you, which you are probably finding are outdated. And they are limiting you from realizing your true trading success. Now, you still adhere to these outdated ideas to some degree because that's your comfort zone. And I know you're still adhering to them because otherwise you would be taking all profit and keeping it and growing it, and you wouldn't be contacting me. So here, I'm going to give you a good affirmation that I say out loud every morning in the shower. I am worth every single penny I take in profit each and every day. I am worthy of every financial opportunity that comes my way as a trader. I am worth $1 million each year because I work for it as a trader, and I deserve it. I make that amount because I know this is ordained for me by God. This I believe 100% with every fiber of my being because it has been written and so it is done. Now, this is the type of affirmation that works for me. It's just one of several I say out loud every morning in the shower. Now, this is just an example to get you started, like insert your own dollar amount, of course, into this affirmation, or create something from scratch all on your own. And I will remind you that if you are using affirmations or a set of affirmations and haven't yet achieved your trading goals, then those affirmations are not working. They may not be appropriate, and they need to be revised. They may not be working because they were unrealistic, outdated, or you simply don't believe in them. Either way, if your trading results are static, you have boom and bust cycles, then change your affirming statements today. While you're formulating your affirming statements, don't think about it. Just be creative and write it down. You will be very surprised at what you come up with. Keep in mind to remember your God-given divinity of wealth. You were created to be as wealthy as you desire. Whatever that word and level of wealth means to you, and only you. Because you are the only one to create dominion with your wealth as a trader. And you can do this. Believe in yourself. So this is Paula T. signing off. www.paulatweb.com 760-636-4290. See you next week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.